This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. My favorite interviews are the ones where everybody comes into the studio with me. And today I have another favorite, two of my favorite sisters. I'm very blessed that they live in my community. They share my life and I love them to pieces. I know by the end of today's show, if you have not heard from them before, you're going to love them as much as I do. So I welcome Jackie Smith and Patty Shaw to Empower Radio.
Thank you, Terry. This is Jackie getting over a little cold.
Thank you, Terry. It's a pleasure to be here always with you.
And this is Patty, hoping to not get that cold, right?
I don't know. The timer is ticking.
We share an office, so we need to spray Lysol, I guess.
So another one of my favorites happens to be the candles that these two sisters share with the world. And I see these candles every day. I light them almost every day. And I am, yes, I mean, really, it's part of my morning ritual, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. We're going to talk about rituals, but it's part of my morning ritual. I light a candle. I thank the world. You know, I thank my clients, everything. And it starts with one of your candles. So I'm so grateful.
I'm honored and humbled.
Yeah, well, thanks. So let's give the listeners a little bit of history around your magical candle adventure.
I started this on my kitchen stove 25 years ago. It makes me feel really, really old to say that. It makes me feel even older when I say decades,
wow,
plural. But then I don't look old at all. I look fantastic. But
she does.
25 years ago on my kitchen stove with some candle making supplies, making the most ugliest candles you would ever want to see. Because we have to start somewhere. One of my favorite mentors said, make it bad, make it better. And that's always been one of my philosophies, is just go ahead and do something. If it's not perfect, that's okay. You have time to perfect it. So that was my intent 25 years ago, was to create solutions. I had lovely people in my life who were supporting me in a time when I was 24. So, you know, when we're 24, we have no money. And there's times when we're about to go hungry. So, and I was out on my own and I had people who were taking care of me. And I wanted to repay them. And so each of those first 18 candles was specifically for someone I loved and helping them resolve an issue in their life. Mm. And that's how that all started out. It started off with love and gratitude. Mm. And that's been, I try to keep that my focal point as I've gone on. Now I say try because none of us are perfect. And there's times when I really got a head full of Jackie and drank the Kool-Aid of who I think I should be.
Mm-hmm. Who you are, sister. Come on.
I was able to keep that. And when times are really rough, I keep that going. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started. And then within a year, I brought my sister Patty in, who, oh, thank all the Lords that she is my business partner and my anarchist sister of the Akasha.
Yeah. We talked about that, listeners, before we went live, and they talk about being the Akashic anarchist sisters. And I love that because they follow a set of guidelines, I would say, guidelines of love and gratitude, right?
Yeah.
But you write your own story.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys live your own story.
We do. You know, Jackie invited me in over to join her at Coventry. And it was a funny story. Another sister, there are five sisters.
Six sisters.
I didn't include myself. Six sisters. So the oldest is on the phone to Jackie saying, you know, Patty's in between jobs. Why don't you give her a call? And then she's on the phone to me. You know, Jackie's really, you know, in over her head with these candles. Why don't you give her a call? So we call each other and say, you know, I'd like to really help you out. And like, no, I'm helping you out. No, I'm helping you out.
So wait, is that how it is in the office on Mondays? You know, I'm here to help you. No, I'm helping you.
No, we totally got over that. Now we're in thick as thieves, making sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and we're still anarchists. You know, even though we've gone to entrepreneurial school and we've learned a lot of things about running a business after we started a business, like 20 years after we start a business, we go to this, hey, how do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave us a lot of great tools, and we're still like, I think I'm going to rework that one because I see the genius of it, but in my life, I want it to look like this. So mm-hmm. we're still bending rules and not having rules and doing things our own way. I think it makes it more fun.
It does. And we also still do the, I want to support you. I want you to have whatever you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gets us into trouble. But we're still in that space of being each other's cheerleaders. And it's just been an amazing journey, a dynamic journey, sometimes a horrific journey in these past years. And through all of it has been our philosophy of making magic mm-hmm. and creating your own reality and stepping into your power. And I would have to say, when people say, what's your passion? My passion is empowerment. And this happens to be the tool that I use to get there. And, you know, when you go through business school and they have you do your elevator pitch, my elevator pitch is, hi, I'm Jackie, and I help you awaken your inner magic. And it's so fun to be in a room full of, usually in business networking situations, I'm one of a few women. And so to say this to men and they go, what? And then it gives
a lot of definitions of magic out there in
right.
people's heads.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is that I think we all do it. Well, I don't think it. I know we all. We right. all have our own versions of how we get lucky, and in the strictest sense of lucky.
Mm-hmm.
How we
right.
how we manifest. Yeah. How we manifest things. How we empower ourselves. So when I'm in a room of men and they're all giving their own little elevator speech, and I say, hi, I'm Jackie, and I help you awaken your inner magic, and they go, what's that? And I say, well, it's your empowerment. It's how you get things done. It's your mojo.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole
what
point
makes you
of a,
special.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole point of an elevator speech, is to get someone to say, what are you talking about? Tell me more.
And to the one, everyone that I have said that to has come back with this whispery voice, you know, I believe in that.
Isn't that hilarious?
I know.
Every one of them, they said, well, I have, this is what I do. And this is, and none of them use the word ritual. None of them use the word magic, but this is my little thing that I do. This is, and then when I start talking to them, you know, the one of the best times was when I was in, again, the only woman in a room full of men in this business class. And they have people come in at lunch to teach us a new thing. And this guy comes in and he's down and in on being an entrepreneur and all these things. And he comes in, he's all excited with a head full of information he wants to share with us about neuro-linguistic programming. And I fell out of my chair laughing. They're like, there's this new thing I got to tell you about. And I said, I'm sorry. I love that you're learning this, and I love that this is now part of the new entrepreneurial culture. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know that this has been part of the spiritual, new age, whatever you want to call it, cultural, for 30 years. So this isn't new.
It's not a new thing. It's just a new way of marketing it. You know,
right.
of you went to that entrepreneurial school, and it's just a new way of marketing it. Today I read a post on Facebook that said, if you want to do something really well for your business, learn how to market it. And I think that so many different schools of thought that are popping up right now are just new ways of marketing it.
You know what I love? Conscious capitalism is another new term that I learned in the past couple of weeks. And I went, so this is a thing? She goes, yeah, there's a whole movement. There's websites about it. I love it.
Right.
I love it. It's because we've infected everyone.
Yeah. And I love that you said everybody believes in magic, even if it's their own type of magic, you know, whether you call it magic or manifesting. I think that about meditation, you know, whether you call meditation prayer or, you know, just getting quiet. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own words to describe what a particular thing is, and then all of a sudden a light bulb comes on and says, oh yeah, that's what that's called, right?
I love it when people do that because they've devised their own language that brings two schools of thought together. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden a new friendship is made and they take this idea and they go even farther with it. And so when we talk about ritual and all the ways that you can bring magic into your life, ritual is such an old word and it's kind of heavy for some people. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, their routines in their life are their rituals and they wouldn't give up their routine for anything. In fact, they say, I don't feel right because I didn't brush my teeth at, you know, right after breakfast or whatever. And or I didn't start my day like this. You know, I got up on the wrong side of the bed is literally means you started your day in a way that was different.
Right.
Than what you're used to.
And yeah, mine's that cup of coffee in the morning. I get up, I go right to my coffee pot, then I brush my teeth. But without that, I feel totally imbalanced. You know, if I did not have that, and I tell people all the time, in a sense, that is ritualistic to me because I sit with that cup of coffee and a candle, and I create this moment of sharing love and gratitude and setting my intention for the day. So to somebody else, that might not be considered a sacred ritual, but I mean, you can see my hair standing up. Mm-hmm. That's part of my sacred ritual. My husband left his job. He decided 6 weeks ago he was going to quit his job and go into semi-retirement and go back to Costco. And it has totally screwed up my morning ritual, uh-oh, right? So I just told him the other day, I'm like, okay, hon, you've been home for 6 weeks. I need to get back to my routine. So you need to stay in the bedroom for about 45 minutes while I do my thing. I'll bring you coffee before I get started, but right?
My husband's morning changed a couple of years ago. He used to leave at 8 a.m. and I would have all of this time to myself.
Yeah.
My daughter's at school. My husband's gone to have this quiet time. Now he's the last to leave.
Right?
Oh, I know. I feel your pain. My husband's routine in the morning changed too. And I'm never sure if he's going to be sleeping in the bed in the morning or on the couch. So I don't know if I have to be quiet in the living room or quiet in the bedroom I have breakfast in my office.
Right. I mean, we have to adapt. And so let's get a little deeper into that. So we're experiencing these shifts or have experiencing these shifts. What are some ways that we can create some sacred rituals in our lives that really support empowering ourselves?
I would say the first thing that every one of us uber busy, over informed people can do is we need to schedule it.
Mm-hmm.
For real. We have to. I started putting it on my calendar and my time, and I started scheduling my quiet time. And I don't always do it, but I started the ritual of scheduling it time for myself. And then I can choose in that moment whether to take it or not. But we have to make space for it.
Right.
We absolutely have to make space for it. And one of the ways I take time for myself to unwind my brain, I feel like sometimes I'm one of those little metal tops that's wound too tight. And I have too much information in my head and it becomes a circular thought and I get stuck. So I need to unwind it. And the way I do that is people have been talking about bullet journaling for a while. And I don't do the traditional way of bullet journaling, but of course I don't.
She does the janky version. That's awesome.
And that's the cool thing about bullet journaling is that you make it your own.
Right.
Is that I start writing down my process. I start writing down what I need to do in the future. I let the paper record it and take ownership of that next task rather than my head. And so that's how I can start scheduling that time and unwind my brain. Because if you don't unwind your brain, if you come from a tumultuous conversation, a situation, and then you try and meditate seconds later.
Not going to happen. You're going to still have what they call that monkey mind. It's just going to keep going and going and going. So listeners, I'm chatting with Jackie Smith and Patty Shaw of Coventry Creations. All of their information is on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. We are talking about ritual right now. And Patty, what's your take on creating some space and ritual in your life? You said you go into your office after you had this shift with Yeah. Our lovely David.
Yep. So I made my office my entire meditation space, and I do lots of things there. I write, I color in my coloring book there. I pet my cat. And then I also have my altar there. And that is where I go to meditate. And what happens is when you meditate in the same space, it builds up an energy. And so it becomes really supportive of you. Like, oh, well, I'm in here. It's like, oh, I feel I could really like meditate for a while or do. And I just, when I meditate, I don't just sit there with a blank mind. I can't. I have to direct my thoughts. I have to become a boss of my thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of guided meditations, and those help me a lot too. So I'm multitasking. I'm getting quiet, and at the same time, I'm getting some work done. And it's personal. It's real personal work. The other thing I noticed that I have to honor my own sequence of things. Like, I'm a morning person, and so I wake up awake, and I can, you know, do my thing. And if I tried to shift that over to evening, I would be asleep during my meditations. You know, after 9, it's like I turn into a pumpkin or something. So I suggest that everyone figure out what's their best time that they feel alert and awake. And if you're feeling like, I can't calm down, breathe. I'll just start by breathing and fill your lungs up from the bottom to the top. Spread out your ribs and get full of air. And if you're not a believer in breathing, that it will calm you, just try it. It will calm you. After 3, you're like, oh, what problem? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I think we hang on to that stuff.
Yeah.
So part of my rituals are finding something repetitive to do. So some people feel that they need to sit in either guided meditation or sit in quietness. I find that I need to do something repetitive like coloring or crocheting or doing the dishes or taking a walk. I need something that grabs that that right brain or mm-hmm. left brain or the side of my brain that always wants to organize things and take control and be all logical. I need to keep that busy, mm-hmm. that part of me busy, so then I can start to relax and get into the next thing and get into that creative part. And ritual doesn't have to be very metaphysical and spiritual and these big things that we're talking about. It can simply be one of my favorite things for a long time was just when I worked a long distance from the factory, I would get in my car, I would take a breath, I would put on something interesting that I wanted to listen to, like a TED Talk or something like that, and just spend that time disconnecting from work to get to home. Mm-hmm. It could be something as simple as you come home and you take your shoes off and you put them in at a spot. It might be that you get to work and you arrange your things in a certain way. It doesn't matter. It's just the thing that tells you you're in a new mindset.
Right. Well, I think that we get hung up on what the word ritual is and sacredness from a religious perspective. You know, you had mentioned that, Patty, you mentioned earlier the kind of the old school thoughts around ritual and sacredness. And yes, it was very beneficial for Catholic Church or, you know, the Jewish, whatever your religious belief system is. And there are times when that is necessary. But we have everyday lives, you know, and oh my God, we have stuff coming at us from social media, the news, every direction. So for me personally, when I think of ritual, yeah, it is routine. You know, it's those routines, though, that help me gain a sense of calmness and being able to focus more creatively. And I think about when I get into an argument, let's say with my daughter, if her and I have a disagreement and it's really has pushed my buttons, then I find myself, you know, I'll clean the house or, you know, really get into a project, like you were saying, that helps me to first focus my energy, focus my thoughts so that I can have some space for clarity, kind of detach myself to that. And that's what what I find for creating rituals and sacredness is just allowing me some space to be me and just kind of chill, whatever that looks like, you know, just to bring my sense of self back to me.
I like that. It sounds like we're prescribing some sort of create your rituals to match what you need in the moment. You might need to go running to burn off some adrenaline.
Right.
You might need some quiet time because your nervous system can't take any more. And you need to bring some energy in there to just feed your nervous system so it can not feel so frazzled. Americans, I only know about Americans, but Americans push themselves so hard and they don't stop until they sleep. And there's only so much rejuvenation we can do while we're sleeping. And I believe that's why we need to have those purposeful, meaningful moments of I'm doing this, and it's for my body, it's for my mind, it's for my soul, and it's a conscious choice that we're making.
Yeah, I think other countries, you know, you brought up American, they take siesta time. You know, you go to European countries and the French and Italian cafes where people actually sit and enjoy that cup of coffee instead of going to their drive thru. I always come back to coffee for some reason. I don't know.
Because it's
why.
Of the gods.
It is the gods, isn't it? Do you have a coffee scented candle?
No, on purpose. And there's a long story behind it, but it ruined coffee for me when I had a coffee scented candle.
Oh, I could see that. It would probably be like a cookie candle too.
We got a can of oil that you use to make coffee candles. When we opened it up, it smelled like fish because it was so concentrated.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like, no, we're not doing
it. Ew,
that.
Yeah, no. Okay, so we're getting kind of down to the wire here, and I want to ask a couple of questions. I know we're celebrating your 25th year. Listeners, again, find their information because you won't be disappointed in their candles. But tell me your favorite story about how your products brought about a positive change in someone's life besides mine. Because I feel like I could do the Coventry commercial every day in every way, light your candles.
We'd be happy if you did
something
that.
Like that.
All right, it's a date to do that commercial. I'm reminded of this past July we did, or June, we did a limited edition candle called the Firecracker Candle. It's a blockbuster. And there's only a couple left over at the Candlewick shop now. But this woman got one, and she sent us a long note via Facebook saying that her husband had been unemployed for many years, and she finally used this candle. She used this candle, and finally it broke the block. And it was so apparent what that block was, and they were able to move through it really quick. And within days, he had the job he wanted.
Oh, that gave me chills from head to toe. That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's amazing. And okay, so Patty, you're on. What are plans for the future?
We have big plans for the future. We want to go crazy in R&D and bring out more products and some that are not candles. And then we want to buy our building and renovate it. And that's the inner architect in me that's getting really psyched about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That'll be amazing.
It will be.
That'll be really amazing. Okay, so I want to thank you guys so much for being here with
thank
me today. I'd love for my guests to leave the listeners with something that they could take out into the day to empower their lives. And since I have two of you, lucky for the listeners, they're going to get two thoughts. So heads or tails, who's going first?
I'll go first. Always, always, always forgive yourself.
Is there a forgiveness or healing candle?
The heart candle really focuses on forgiveness, and just turn that in towards yourself.
I want to say one thing really quick. Their candles have amazing messages on them that can inspire you to release or bring in whatever it is that you're looking to happen in your life. Whatever magic happens, right? Okay, so you're on, sister.
Be the magic maker. Don't wait. Make your own magic. You have the power and you have the permission to be the magic maker.
And what candle would they use for that one?
Any and all of them. whatever your issue, your problem, your need, we have a candle for that.
That's true.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, you guys know it's one of my favorite spots. So thank you. Thank you both for being here. I love you and I am honored deeply. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Love you too.